We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Work, family, friends, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7, sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit the reset button. That's when you reach for an ice-cold Coors Light, the beer that's made to chill. Listen, there's a lot going on in Green Bay right now, and I feel like we could all use a moment to chill with a Coors Light. See, Coors Light is cold lagered, cold-filtered, and cold-packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is what I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in their all-new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Minutes a day. 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
It's Saturday and it's Pack-A-Day Podcast, your 24/7, 365-day-a-year Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Jake Turner for PackersTalk.com. Joining me, of course, 32 years in the business and still running from BobMcGinnFootball.com, Mark Eckel. And Mark, how's it going?
It's great, Jake. How are you? I enjoyed the draft. I hope you did as well.
I thought the draft was unexpected, exciting, and I'm looking forward to see what these new Packers can do to help out this team. So,
well said.
It's going to be interesting. All right, so during this Pack-A-Day podcast, and you can follow it at Pack-A-Day Podcast on Twitter, you can find Mark Eckel at MarkEckel08 or myself at Jake Turner Sport. We're going to dive into all the draft picks. We got 8 picks to go through. We're going to jump into the depth charts to see where they're going to fit. Are they going to start? Are they utility players? Or are they just ready in case of an injury? So we'll dive into that. Let's start off with, of course, our number one pick, and that was in round 1 of pick 12. That was Rashawn Gary out of the University of Michigan. And Mark, according to OurLads.com, they got Gary lined up behind Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah, I mean, depth charts this time of the year really don't mean a lot in terms of, you know, because that's what training camp's for. I think, I think the Packers, and this is Mike Pettine. This is what's gonna Mike Pettine's gonna love. He's got a bunch of guys that he can move around, and this is stuff that you and I have talked about leading up to the draft, even what the kind of players they were looking for to give Mike Pettine the kind of guys that he likes. And Gary is one of those kind of guys. He'll line up. We're all speculating right now. I think Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Gary, Kyle Fackrell, the four of them, they're all going to see a lot of time. They're all going to be especially on passing downs, which in this NFL, passing downs are 60% of the downs now, right? I mean, teams throw the ball more than ever. So the four, I mean, that's four, you hope, good pass rushers. Along with Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark, and who else knows? I mean, they're going to let's say this: the Packers are going to get after a quarterback a lot more than they have in a long time. And Gary will be out there. I think you'll see him most of the time standing up as a linebacker, rotating in with those other three guys that I mentioned. I think at times you'll see him put his hand on the ground. It's whatever Pettin wants to do. I think at times you'll see Gary, Fackrell, and the two Smiths on the field all at once. And who knows where they're coming from. And that's just going to be the beauty of this Packer defense. I tried to stress this to Packer fans last year when they were comparing and complaining about his defense. This is not – it's still a 3-4 alignment, but it's nothing like the Pittsburgh Dom Capers 3-4 defense where your three linemen did this and the outside linebackers did that. The inside linebackers did what theirs. No, this is a different – this is more the Rex Ryan 3-4 defense, which is totally different. Blitzes can come from anywhere and everywhere. A lot of inside rushes. So Gary will fit in just well. I spent a lot of words to say that. Gary will fit in just well with the Packer defense.
I would have to agree with you because, I mean, on draft night, you know, you get into that Packers Twitter, but then you start doing your homework. You're watching tape. You're looking at, you know, the likes of Ben Fennell and also Andy Herman, our founder, bringing up some very good points about Gary. And when you see all of the talent that is put into this front seven, they are all versatile football players. They can get after the quarterback, and they are blitz ready. You have a guy who is 277 pounds and runs a 4.5 in his 40. That's insanity. And he's only 21 years old. So I think everybody, you know, should just take a break. Let's see where Rashawn Gary goes from here. And I think he's going to fit. I think he'll just fit in just fine, honestly. But I want everybody to understand this, though. He's not going to be a starter on day one, but he is going to be mixed in, you know, during that Bears game.
And play a lot. And who cares who starts?
That's right.
And in this day and age, it's not a matter. So he's not there on first down. Oh, big deal. But he's still going to get 30 to 40 to 50% of the snaps. And that's all that matters. And let me just add this about the Packer defense. And you mentioned like the blitzing and all this. The days of, and this it worked fine back in 2010 and, you know, when they won a Super Bowl. But Clay Matthews would get 15 or 16 sacks. And then a bunch of guys would have six. Well, it's not going to be that way anymore. It's not going to be one. If one guy breaks out and has that kind of year, God bless him, and that's great. But I think what you're going to see is six guys with between 8 and 10 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And does that bother you? Of course not. I mean, what do we care? As long as the Packers as a team get four sacks a game, or you know whatever. I don't care if one guy gets all four or four guys get one each. As a matter of fact, I'd rather have the four guys getting one each because then it's so much harder for the offenses to figure out who's going to get them. If you know one guy's bringing all the pressure, then there's ways to combat. You know, you double and triple him and not worry about anybody else.
Yeah.
Well, this Packer defense, you don't know who to double. You don't know where it's going to come from. So I think offenses are going to have a tougher time against Mike Pettin and this group of guys that he has now.
Well, talking about the group of guys, we have to definitely talk about Darnell Savage because I thought that was a bullseye for the Packers. That, like Gary, he's 21 years old, 4.3 in the 40-yard dash, but this guy is versatile, and I'm already looking forward to the training camp battle between Josh Jones and Darnell Savage, and I would not be a bit surprised if Savage gets that starting job because he's 5'11", Mark, but he mixes it up so well. He's versatile. He can hit hard. I mean, he hits like an old school corner safety should back in the day. We're talking about the days of like Jack Tatum here. I mean, I could not believe the way Darnell Savage was playing at Maryland.
Well, he was named properly then, right? Savage?
Yeah, there you go. The little Savage. The little cheesehead Savage.
You said don't be surprised if he wins the job. I'll be absolutely stunned if he doesn't. I mean, he's going to – don't pencil him in. Put it in ink. He will be starting opposite Adrian Amos at safety next. The Packers will have two new starting safeties. Jones is a backup special teams player from here on out.
Oh, agreed.
Now, this guy, the Packers traded up to get him for a reason. They loved him. They knew he wouldn't be there if they waited till 30. And in their minds, and I know a lot of fans were like, oh, no, we should have stayed and we could have got Thornhill or we could have gotten got somebody else. Well, guess what? And those guys might turn out to be good. I'm not going to judge any of those guys. But in the Packers' minds, in the Packers' scouting department, from the general manager down to the regional scouts, they didn't think so. They thought Savage was a clear cut above Adderley and Thornhill and anybody else that you want to mention, Rapp, And guess what? So did the rest of the NFL, because Savage went 21 overall, and those guys didn't go until the 50s or even into the 60s, right? So it was obvious that despite what, quote-unquote, the expert mock drafts had, and all the people that really don't know, they just guess, the real people, the general managers in this league, thought Darnell Savage was the best safety in the draft, and the Packers got him, and they filled a major, major, major need on this team. I think that was that pick's going to go down. Let's be honest. The Packers really, since Nick Collins, who was on his way to a wonderful career, potential, God knows what the ceiling would have been, but he got hurt and never played again. They really haven't filled that free safety spot with anyone. They tried it with Ha Ha Clinton Dix, had a couple decent years, and then just kind of, I don't know what happened to him, but he kind of just became a mediocre player. Now he's bouncing around team to team. But they really haven't had it. Again, I don't want to put too much pressure on Savage, but I think he could be the guy. I think he might answer that glaring need on the Packer defense. And along with Amos. I mean, now the Packers, safety was like the weakest part of the team last year, right? We used to joke about Kendall Bryce and all those guys there, give Tremont Williams all the credit in the world for going back there and salvaging it, the last half of the year. But he's not really a safety. He's a veteran corner that bailed the team out. Now they have two legitimate, top-of-the-line safeties in Amos and Savage. So that'll make the whole defense better as well.
No, absolutely. I'm glad you brought up safety as being one of the biggest problems last year. But I thought that the right guard position was a mess for the Packers, and that's why I was excited when they signed Billy Turner to that 4-year, $28 million deal. But then they went and got some depth, some much needed depth on the offensive line, and that was Elgton Jenkins out of Mississippi State. You watch this guy, Mark. He is just—he's a wall. Pretty much. If you painted cement across him, you would mistake him for a wall at this point. Because when you see him come out of that snap, it was crazy. He just stayed in his stance, and he just pushed them off. I mean, he was pushing all off like they were nothing. It was like it was pretty much like a 10-year-old trying to go against a 15-year-old at this point in the yard on recess. It was nuts.
That's good. I like that one.
Thank you.
He's great. That's another good thing. There were two guys – and I would have been happy with either one of them. And again, I'll trust the Packers know what they like better and what their schemes are more. The kid Eric McCoy from Texas A&M, you could put those two guys, Jenkins and McCoy, put them in a hat, pull their name out, and you're going to get a good player. The Packers felt Jenkins. They were both centers primarily in college. And I guess the Packers just felt that Jenkins would adapt more to guard than McCoy would have. And I think they might be right about that. But again, having Jenkins now gives them, God forbid, but if Corey Lindsey ever goes down, has to miss, even a couple snaps during the game for whatever reason, Taylor. Maybe tweaks an ankle. Now they have a legitimate guy to put in at center for a couple, to at least get him through the game if Lindsey's out. But I think Lindsey's going to win. I mean, I know they have Turner. I know they have Lane Taylor. Cole Madison's back. Packers now have some depth. I mean, like you said, guard was a major hole last year on the offensive line. Now, Lane Taylor was probably the best guard last year, right? I mean,
But he was also banged up.
Yeah, but I mean, now he might be their third or fourth best guard.
Couldn't agree
that
more.
Right there.
Because if Cole Madison does become what the Packers want him to be, and then Jenkins, you already got that depth ready. I mean, I understand, offensive lineman depth. I mean, a lot of people keep forgetting about this, but it is probably one of the most important positions in football. You must have a strong offensive line. Otherwise, it doesn't matter if it's Aaron Rodgers out there or it could be, the return of John Elway out there. You need an offensive line because, you can't have him keep scrambling, because then what happens when he scrambles? The chances of getting hurt go up. But if you keep him in the pocket and then able to scramble a couple of times here and there instead of running for his life like Russell Wilson, then you might actually have something going forward with this team. So I thought Elgton Jenkins was a bullseye for the Packers. But I think this was the best. But the next one? This was my favorite pick of the draft. Go ahead.
One thing on Jenkins. You bring up protecting Aaron Rodgers, which obviously that's number one on the Packers' mind. You can't.
Aaron Rodgers cannot get
hit as often as he did last year. Mm-hmm. But let's not forget the other Aaron Jones. Packers are going to run the ball more than they have under Coach LaFleur. They're going to run more than they did under Mike McCarthy.
No, you're absolutely right. This is going to be more of a balance of run and pass now.
And Madsen and whoever's playing guard, the Packers need some good run blockers too, and Jenkins is going to give them that. Jenkins is a mauler in the run game, and that's going to help Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams a lot too.
Couldn't agree more. But we talk about weaponry across the middle, and this guy is a wide receiver disguised as a tight end. Jay Sternberger out of Texas A&M. I watched this kid in the LSU game last year, and I sat there and went, man, I wonder if somebody would grab him sometime in the first couple of rounds. They grabbed him for round 3, 75th pick, 6'4", 475. This story, Mark, to me, is amazing to me. The guy started off at the University of Kansas, then went to Northeastern A&M, a junior college, then played 1 year with Texas A&M and underneath the tutelage of Jimbo Fisher. Met Kellen Mond even better as a quarterback. And he's going to be scary. I can't wait to see this guy in action.
I like this pick a lot too, Jake. It's funny. He's the guy I actually cheered when and I never did. I watch your draft. I was working for Bob. I was also working for my old boss at NJ.com during the draft. So I was kind of busy those two nights. But when they announced Packers select Jay Sternberg, I actually went, yes. I wanted him. I'm actually friends with his agent. So he and I talked a few times prior to the draft. And I had mentioned, are the Packers interested in him? I think he'd be a good fit. And his agent told me, there's about four or five teams that are very interested. And yes, they're one of them. And I wouldn't mind seeing him, play with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. And he got his wish come true in the early third round there. I think, and I've said this, if people tell me I'm crazy, but I don't know. Hockenson was the best tight end in the draft. No doubts, no arguments.
Oh, yeah, he's going to do great in Detroit.
Which is very, very high for a tight end. And even if the Packers wanted him, they couldn't get him because he was off the board already. But he'll be the best. I mean, he's the best. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to tell all the Packer fans listening to us right now, the Packers got the second best tight end in the draft.
Yeah,
he's better than Noah Font. He's better than Irv Smith. He's better than whoever else was being talked about. This guy when it's all said and done, he'll be second to Hockenson.
No, I couldn't agree more. I give a lot of credit. Mark, the thing is what the Lions are trying to do is they're trying to create New England East. New England West right now. And I understand that. DJ Hockenson, that's going to be a bullseye for them. I'm really excited to see what he'll do in Detroit. But, man, when I saw Sternberger fall into our lap, 22 years old, 4.75, and you watch him in the middle of the field, he never stops running. When he's at the middle of the field, he grabs that football, and then he just turns on the afterburners and see you later, amigo, and he runs into the end zone. There was just a lot of great plays across the middle.
I was almost hoping the Packers took him in the second round. I wouldn't have minded that, but they worked out. They knew the boards better than I do or we do, and they gambled and they won that they were able to get him in the third round. That's a great third round pick.
Well, as we continue down our board here, this is the Pack a Day podcast. I'm Jake Turner of PackersTalk.com. Joining me is Mark Eckel of BobMcGinnFootball.com. 32 years in the business. We're diving into the depth chart of the Packers for our draft class for 2019. Fifth round pick, 150th, Kingsley Kike out of Texas A&M. Watched a bunch of his game film earlier today. Fell in love with him. But I remember there was one game against Arkansas, and it was in Dallas at this point. And all I saw nothing was Kike just demolishing this Arkansas team. This also shows, Mark, that the Packers are going after defensive line. I mean, you talked about, hey, we got Tyler Lancaster next year on the depth chart. Nah. Kingsley Kike is going to really fit in nicely. You're going to see him mixed in a lot.
Yeah, I don't think it affects Tyler Lancaster. Lancaster's put a.
I think it makes it even tougher, though. I think it just makes the matchups in training camp even stronger.
It's more depth. We were talking about that. And I think the guy let me first say, they got Kiki in the fifth round. Most scouts that I read that Bob McGinn quoted in his stories and most things I heard, most people had him as a late third, fourth rounder.
Unbelievable. So they got
good value there. And because this draft was so, so rich and so deep on the defensive line, a guy like Kiki any other year would have probably been a third round pick. But because there were so many just excellent defensive linemen in this draft, a guy like him falls a little bit, and fortunately for the Packers, he fell right to them in the fifth round. I think he provides – he's not going to start. I mean, it's going to be Daniels, Mark, and Lowry. Lancaster will be your backup nose, on early downs. This guy is going to be battling and probably taking a lot of snaps away from both Montrevious Adams and Fadul Brown. He'll probably be, like you said, he'll be in the rotation. He'll probably be out much more on passing downs than run downs, because that's his strength right now. Another guy that can get to the quarterback. This Packer offseason, this Packer draft is everything about this Packer offseason was, we got to get to the quarterback. We got to get more pressure on the quarterback. He signs a Darius Smith and Preston Smith in free agency. They draft Rashawn Gary and then Kingsley Kiki. Get to the quarterback. That's how you win in the NFL today. You got to get pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, we're going down this line, and we're going to be talking nothing but death. But there is, in the next three picks, one that I feel like is going to be very interesting to watch, especially in training camp. But let's go down the line here. Sixth round, 185th pick of the NFL draft, 5'11", 196, out of Toledo, Kadar Holman. Saw some of his game film against Ball State, liked what I saw. But Mark, we go back to this again. One of the biggest problems underneath Ted Thompson in the last couple of years was the lack of depth at secondary. Kadar Holman just beefed up in the nickel and dime.
The guy can really run. I mean, he ran a 4.34, I think, 4.35.
4.36.
And that's another thing. If you look at this Packer draft, actually the last two Packer drafts under Brian Guttenkos, it's about speed too. They wanted there obviously was a clear intention to improve the team's speed. Every one of these guys the Packers drafted can run. Gary, like you said, runs. He's a big man that runs like a wide receiver. This guy runs for Savage runs under sub 4.4s. That's fast. Very raw. He's a great story too. He's from New Jersey, not far from where I'm from, and he actually had no scholarship offers. Was working at Dunkin' Donuts. Didn't think he was going to go to school. Wound up going to did he go to JUCO first? At Toledo. As a walk on, earned a scholarship, became a playmaker there. I believe he had 10 interceptions in his career there. And at worst, I think he's going to be an excellent gunner on special teams with the Packers. Not just Packers.
Desperately needed.
Those gunners. If you remember, the Packers had Jeff Jadis a couple of years ago. That was just a great gunner. But his time ran out. But at worst, I think that you'll see him as a rookie. Because let's be honest, he's going to be behind on the depth chart. He's going to be behind Alexander, King, and Jackson, and Williams, at least. Maybe Tony Brown as well. So he's going to have to make some time up at the cornerback spot, but I think he'll be a welcome addition to a brand new look. And let's be honest, Packers special teams needed all the help they could get, and this guy's going to be a big help there.
I think this guy is going to be a big help too, and this is another matchup I want to watch in training camp. That's in the running back spot. Out of Notre Dame, Dexter Williams. Now, I understand. I cannot stand it when I hear the word undersized. I know he's only 5'11", but I'm going to give you a couple of objects / vehicles that remind me of Dexter Williams. Cement mixer, semi-truck, battering ram. I mean, the list goes on and on. Dexter Williams is a human battering ram. And I watched him at Notre Dame, and I was blown away here. And if I'm Jamal Williams right now, I am in the gym working myself silly here because this is going to be a guy that's going to help on third down.
You think so?
I do, because Jamal Williams' numbers have dropped. He went from 3.8 down to 3.6 yards per carry. He had a couple of good games, but he's not consistent. Dexter Williams is a consistent back.
I think Jamal Williams is still going to be your third down back. Number one,
okay.
He's excellent in pass protection. He's a good receiver. I think where That's Dexter true. Williams fits in is I think he'll be Aaron Jones' backup. I think when Jones needs a break, and let's be honest, you can't overwork. The one thing Mike McCarthy had right last year was you don't. I know the fans want to give Aaron Jones 30 carries a game. No. If Aaron Jones has shown us anything over his first couple of years, is durability is an issue with him. He's when he's healthy and he's on his game, listen, he's very good. But he's not the kind of guy that you want to overwork and get 25, 30 carries because he's not going to make it through the season if you do that. He's just not. So keep his carries to 15 to 17, whatever. Give Dexter Williams those other carries and just use Jamal as your third down pass pro dump off out of the backfield guy. My only concern with Dexter Williams, and maybe I'm just being a little old-fashioned here, he's had some off-the-field issues that I'm not crazy about.
Yeah, I understand that.
Four games, tested positive for some drugs. I don't know if it was just weed or if it was other stuff, but he's got to clean that up. The NFL, I mean, the Packers can't afford to have guys getting suspended. I mean, that doesn't help you if he's on a suspension list. So he's got to – hopefully he's dead. Hopefully he's matured. And he'll be a good, you know, off the field as well. Because on the field, yeah, he's a good – I think he'll be a very good back in Jamal Williams. But I am just a little concerned about the off-the-field stuff.
I understand the off-the-field issues, and I was listening to an interview on NFL radio with Safer Cassie, and they were talking to him about those issues. The one thing is that his mother's health is not the strongest. She's just not, you know, I mean, she's just trying to be the best mom that she can be right now with her health issues, and that was one of the reasons why Dexter was acting out the way he was. I feel like he cleaned up his act. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but man, if this guy gets on the field,
he's matured.
Right, right. You know, no, I mean it's like you. You know, I do my research, you do yours.
We've all did things when we were younger that we probably wish we hadn't done.
Oh yeah.
So, but he still is young. So I'm just hoping now. You know, he's in the NFL. Let's make it. Let's get rid. You know, let's. Like I said, if he is the guy. If the off-the-field stuff goes away and he's just the player he was at Notre Dame, Packers got to steal in the sixth round because he's a third, fourth round. If he didn't had any off-the-field stuff, he would never have been there in the sixth round.
And finally, you're right. And finally, here on the Pack-A-Day podcast, so as we continue to go down the depth chart here on Jake Turner alongside Mark Eckel, the final pick, round 7, 226th out of TCU, 6'1", linebacker Ty Summers. And Gary Patterson gushes about this kid. What I look at right now is a special teams weapon. This is something that was been a problem underneath Ron Zook. This is why we threw him out the door finally. We need guys that can hit. And Ty Summers, I feel like, is going to fit in nicely in the special teams.
I agree. And again, like I said earlier about Holman, the corner who's going to be a gunner on special teams. I think this guy will be a core, at first, will be a core special team because he's going to kind of can run for a linebacker. He's going to come 4-5. He'll be a factor there. And don't count him out, maybe not as a rookie. Probably not as a rookie. Yet. Like you said, he'll probably just be a special team.
In the future.
But I could see him as soon as next year, as soon as 2020. Vying for some time as an inside linebacker. The Packers are very thin at inside linebacker. This guy can run. He can. I think he'll be a good cover. His future is. Let me take a pause.
Yeah, his take a breath.
Will be, like you say, excellent special teams player. You know, deep backup. But I think eventually, and that eventually could be as soon as 2020. I think he'll be like a nickel linebacker for you. He won't be out there all the time. But on passing downs, you'll see him out there covering the tight end, covering the back out of the backfield. He can run and cover. That's his strength.
Mark, I like it. And, you know, this is one thing I really liked about this year's draft. You know, we were always known underneath Ted Thompson, you know, we would average about 12 to 15 picks and maybe three would work out for us. The Packers only had 8 draft picks in this whole draft. And I feel like they really went for substance over style in this one. They didn't, you know, put all kinds of picks up all together and everything. They looked at guys and went, okay, we could fit him here, 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 and here. Guys, we need depth. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to draft guys for depth, but we're not going to go high and mighty and, you know, grab draft pick after draft pick after draft pick. We're going to get the guy that we want, and then we're going to get out. I think Brian Gutekunst and Russ Ball did a great job. They were aggressive at the right times, and they really made good moves in this one. I'm pretty impressed with the way Gutekunst and Russ Ball have done so far.
Don't count out Hendricks, the guy that they hired from the Ravens.
Yes.
He learned from one of the best in Ozzie Newsome, and I think he brought a lot of that Baltimore draft style with, you know, helping Brian out a little bit there as well. I think this draft was, we'll see. You really can't tell for a couple of years, but I like what they did.
Yes.
They got 8 picks. I think all 8 are going to make the team, which was a good start right there. And like I said, speed was a big thing, and they went with guys that they got good value.
That's exactly what I thought. Yes.
Like even Sumner's in the 7th round. I took the guys that had like a 5th round rate on him. You know, Dexter Williams, like we said, take the off. Again, it's hard to ignore the elephant in the room, but
I hear you.
If he didn't have those suspensions and the positive drug test, he's not there in the 6th round. He's gone probably early 4th, if not late 3rd. So you know that you know the only one that rated where they got him was the corner from to Toledo Holman, and he was a late riser because of when he ran the 4.3 at his workout and stuff, so that kind of got opened everybody's eyes. But everybody else, they got later than they probably should have, including Gary, who most people had as a top 10 pick.
And the season of change continues in Green Bay. I can't wait for minicamp coming up in June, and then we got training camp in July, preseason in August, and I could not think of anybody better to do it with than Mark Echo. Mark, as always, great stuff with you, and I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Take care, buddy.
All right, that was Mark Echo of BobMcGinnFootball.com. If you have not subscribed to it, I highly recommend that you do. Bob McGinn is one of the best writers. And when it comes to Packer football, this is the guy that you need to read about and even be inspired by. And then Mark Echo has been part of this for 32 years. He covered the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's just been a big part of building my career as well. So I really do mean a lot. But like I said, I love what the Packers really did. It was a substance over style. They went for less picks, more value. And I feel like, just like as Mark said, all 8 are going to make the team. And it's going to be interesting. But Packer fans, like I said, last year was going to be interesting. This year, this is going to be change-worthy. This actually feels like a new day in Green Bay. I don't know how else to say it. If you put me on freezing cold takes, I take that as a compliment. All right, that's it for Pack-A-Day Podcast. I do have one more thing I'd like to bring out here. I wanted to say this till the end of the show. I go to the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting at Full Sail University. I've met Dan Patrick 4 times. About to actually have him on my podcast here in the next couple weeks. Dan Patrick is going through some health issues right now. He announced it yesterday on his show. It's 9 minutes. If you haven't seen it, take a look. I'm not going to get too much into it, but I'm just going to say my prayers are with Dan Patrick on this. He's going through a lot right now. And if you do get a chance, tweet him at DP Show. If you're a fan of the Dan Patrick Show, please put that out there as well. But he's been going through a lot right now. And I'll tell you this, he has hid this secret beautifully. So I give a lot of credit. And that makes me even happier to be part of the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. So if you're a fan of him, go to at DP Show, and please just make sure you send him some prayers. He's been going through a lot over the last 7 years here. So, all right, that's it for our Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can tweet us at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Tweet Mark Echol at MarkEchol08, or yours truly at Jake Turner Sport. Until next time, this has been the Pack-A-Day Podcast, and the 3 greatest words in the dictionary of the Green Bay Packers is, Go Pack Go. We'll see you next time on the Pack a Day podcast.
Shotgun. Packers showing a blitz, and here they come. Beathard looking. Hit as he throws it. Deep down the right sidelines. And it is intercepted on the play. Spectacular interception by Kevin King at the 9-yard line of Green Bay.
Snap to Rodgers looking right. Throws the right side. St. Brown makes the touch.
Nice reach.
38 out. Oh, he reached back to gather it in. Using all 6'5 of his frame. Tumble out of bounds. Inside the 30 of the 28-yard line. Hunter Bradley the snap. J.K. Scott down on one knee. Arm extended. Here it is. Placement made. Kick is up. It is good.
Yes.
Mason Crosby delivers the dagger. One week after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight. Third and five. 13-yard line of Atlanta. Snap. Ryan looks right. Throws right side. Intercepted. To the house. Bishop Freeland. Touchdown. Green Bay Packers. 19-yard interception return. And it's 16-7 Packers.
Rodgers looks it over. Takes the snap. Blitz on. They pick it up. Lost
they
the
got
right
him.
Side.
They got him. 40-yard.
Single back offense behind Aaron Rodgers, who ducks in under center. From the 29 of Green Bay, and here's the handoff up the middle. Big hole, straight ahead. It is Aaron Jones off to the races, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, down the left sidelines, and he's out of bounds. Inside the 10 of the 5-yard line of Miami. Aaron Jones with a burst, 67 yards.
Third and six, trailing 30-23, 2 minutes straight up to go in the game. San Francisco showing a blitz through the A-gap, and here they come. Rodgers looking, throws left side of the end zone.
Yes!
Touchdown!
Yes!
Devontae
Adams, left corner of the end zone from Aaron Rodgers.
16-yard touchdown pass. The Packers an extra point away from getting this game tied.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.